How you all going? All have a relaxing time playing football or something? Brilliant. Okay, folks, we're going to make a start because we do have to finish at a certain time. Which one is this? What are we doing this session? Logged it. Okay, we're in business. We're going. We're firing. Is anyone staying for looking after your leaders?
Yeah,
we'll have a 15-minute smoke out in the middle and just come back. Okay, so welcome, folks. What I want to do is talk about staying fresh for the long haul. That is, here's my observation. This observation is from Australia. It may not work this way in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Here's the way it looks in Australia. Lots of enthusiastic young youth leaders and youth pastors. Late teens, early 20s, it's just on fire. Everyone's committed, everyone does great stuff. And somewhere in the mid-20s, people just sort of stop. Go and do something else. And it doesn't appear to be very many who actually continue on into their 30s,
into their 40s, into their 50s.
And so what I want to look with you, what I want to do is look at what I call the five stages of youth ministry. And you'll be able to identify where you're at, but you need to understand the positives and the negatives of each stage, and more importantly, how to make a transition from one to the other. I also want to show you why most people bail out in their mid-20s and how it can be avoided. Because my prayer is that even though I know some people will do youth ministry as preparation for another ministry, because youth ministry is just the best training ground ever. Like if you're training people to preach, don't train them in front of adults. They'll be bored out of their brains and sit there and smile, and on their way up they'll shake your hand and say, lovely sermon, to commit to it long term. And a whole swag of people who will see through a generation being changed. A whole swag of people who will then train the next level of leaders, having been a lifelong leader themselves. So, I just want to look through the five stages of youth ministry. This is meant to be interactive. This is not a prepared message that I will view your interruptions with suspicion. Remember, I operate in Australia, and whatever we say about Australians, they've got no sense of politeness. So don't sit there thinking, oh, I better not say something because that would be impolite. I was brought up in the jungle of Australia, and we don't expect anyone to hesitate in pushing forward and interrupting. So as we go through, please throw your hand in the air. If you want to ask something, check something. If I can deal with it on the way through, I will. Otherwise, I'll come back to it at the end. So I want to talk about what I call the five stages of youth ministry. I've always wanted to be 6 foot tall. This is just one of those occasions. First stage is what I call the one of the gang stage. Excuse the writing, I'm going for speed here. The one of the gang stage. Now what this means is, can't get that any closer. Now, here we are. You're probably aged somewhere between 16 and 20, something like that. That means you're sort of up to 5 years older than the youth you're leading. So if you can imagine someone who's like a 20-year-old, and they're leading 15-year-olds, they're in the one of the gang stage. That is, they're pretty close in age to the actual kids that they're leading. So let's get some suggestions from you. Let me find out some real positives about having leaders at level one stage where they're within a few years of the actual kids that they're leading. Let's get some suggestions. What are some of the positives about that? What's good about leaders that age? Yes, sir.
It's pretty good at getting alongside them.
Oh, absolutely. Get alongside them because they're that close in age, they know how to do it, accept it immediately. Excellent. Other positives, yes, sir.
You can relate to some of the problems they're going through.
Yes, because you go through them yourself and you understand what it's like. Well done, yes, ma'am.
They can be good examples and role models for them.
Yes, they're about the same age, just a fraction older, a little bit more experienced, can be a good role model. At the back.
Depression, but itchy.
Oh, yes, haven't got comfortable in their 30s and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we
know how it goes. A couple more positives on these really young letters. Yes,
the language they're talking
about. Yes, they have. When a child says that, you know, the youth group was sick, or wicked, they actually know whether they thought it was good or bad. I had a kid come to youth group, he was year 10, and the first time he'd come and I said, so what do you think of the youth group? He said, oh, it ripped. And I said, wasn't that bad, was it? He said, no, ripped is good. So they understand without having little subtitles underneath. Fantastic. Any more advantages, really young leaders, in that first stage?
They've probably got more time because they don't have a job.
Yes. May not have a full-time job, may not have a wife or a husband or a family or a mortgage or all those sorts of things. And so they might actually have lots of time to invest in the kids. Brilliant. Any last ones?
Yes, not kind of set in their ways and willing to try stuff and go with things.
Yes, yes. These young leaders come back from a conference and say, hey, I've got a new way of doing things. Really? Let's do it. When people get, you know, really old and established, you know, early 20s, sometimes a little bit more reluctant to change, because that's the way we've always run out of youth group. We're not going to change that. Any last advantages you can think of? Yes, sir. One and back. Yes, they're actually learning heaps as well as giving out heaps. So that's good experience.
Like Ross, energy, mate. They've got lots of energy.
Oh, energy. Man, I can remember that word. they can go all night. They can actually burn the candle at both ends and think that they'll still survive. They've got energy all over the place. What might be some disadvantages sometimes with leaders in the one of the gang stage who are almost the same age, just a little older than the actual youth that they're leading? Yes, ma'am.
I think they can be more effective when the kids in the group don't like them or something happens where they have to be disciplined. You know what I mean? So you're a bit more effective by how young people feel about you as if you're younger.
They are absolutely hopeless at discipline. Can I just put that in a more Australian way? Not because they don't want to, but they desperately need the kids to like them because they're almost their age. They're their friends, which means that they need to pull little Johnny into line at any stage. They find it very, very difficult. And even if they try to discipline the kids don't believe them and don't do it. So that actually can be a struggle for your poor young leaders. They will probably struggle a little bit to have adequate discipline from the kids. Good answer. Let's get a handsome man down the back there.
Oh, thank you. Just boundaries, really, like in terms of their own relationships with people. If they've already been mates with them, and
I think you're right. Give me an example. One that just comes to your mind.
So, for example, say they used to be youth group themselves, and some of the people still in the youth group are their friends.
Yes.
If they come across a situation that, I don't know, social, you know, a party or something, do they step in if there's something going on, or do they? Too close to time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are they shepherds or just big sheep? And seriously, you've got to understand for our young leaders, and as I'm aware, there may be a few in this room who are actually in this category, that is a difficulty they will wrestle with, and we actually need to support them in that. But there will be a dichotomy in their mind. Are they a shepherd at that point or just a big sheep? Which can actually produce, sometimes they produce their own discipline problems. You've got to actually pull your young leaders in the line sometimes because they've actually started being sheep rather than being shepherds. Any more disadvantages come to your mind? Yes, sir.
They don't necessarily have the wisdom that can come with age and experience.
Yes, I love my 18-year-old leaders. They are absolutely fantastic. I always want them to have 53 years of wisdom, and I can't understand why they don't have it. That's the wisdom bank they're operating from, even if they are the most wise 18-year-old in the world, is only 18 years deep. And if you're a little more wise, if you've had more years to possibly accumulate wisdom, sometimes they'll just make dumb decisions, not because they're bad leaders, they have a small wisdom bank to draw from. That's a good point. Now, someone else had a hand. Yes.
Yeah, in a weird sort of way, I think they're less patient than become more easily frustrated one are actually teaching them, the kids just don't get it. They're behaving.
That is an interesting comment. What makes you say that a younger person might even be less patient?
Because they're not willing to wait. They want the results now.
Yeah, which makes sense. When you've only lived 18 years, you don't want to wait another year to see something, whereas, you know, the 53-year-olds of the world, we can work on a 5-year plan and actually say, look, that's a good idea. We're planning to get to that in 2012. We've got a number of steps between now and then. We're going to work towards that in 2012. The 18-year-old leader say, 2012? I'm 18, I'll be, hang on, let's do the maths here. 7 puts on 5, 8. I'll be 23 by then. That's like another quarter of my life. And so probably younger leaders are not good at patient waiting for long-term results. They live in a very instant world, and they're probably looking for, I probably get frustrated. That's an insightful point.
They're alongside.
Yeah.
They're alongside.
Yeah.
They're alongside.
Yeah.
They're alongside.
Yeah, quite possibly. Okay, so any other negatives of this stage? Yes,
speak like the power of their example with young, slightly younger people. As soon as their lifestyle isn't what it could be, then it's a really powerful bad example.
Yes, they can be a good role model, but they can easily be an incredibly bad role model because they're still learning and growing and getting some areas under Christ's Lordship themselves. And sometimes if you're only one step ahead of the kids, you can't lead them a long way. If you're one step ahead of someone, and you can only lead them one step. And so sometimes they, in fact, will end up being unhelpful in their role modelling. Not because they're essentially evil, or it's just because they're still learning through those things themselves. This is good. Any last positive or negatives occur to you that we haven't covered?
There can be a lack of respect from parents to a younger leader.
Yes, when you're 18, try educating a parent how to bring their teenager up and just check the results. What would you know? You're only a young guy. And so, absolutely, it's harder to work with parents because parents have got kids that age. And if I could speak on behalf of parents worldwide, most parents find it hard to learn things from younger people. There's something within us that just says they couldn't possibly be right. When you've lived as long as I have, son, you'll understand that sort of approach. Any last positives or negatives? For this age group, yes, sir.
I think it's true for some of us as well, like older, they can become immersed in being a leader as such, so maybe ignore their own spirituality, their own walk with God. So you become the title.
Yes.
So you become a leader as such.
I'm important, I'm a leader.
Yeah.
Look, badge, leader. And sometimes the thrill of being in charge actually overrides their spirituality. Met a young guy who I was coaching athletics to. He's about 16 or 17. I didn't think he was a Christian. And he told me he was going to be a Sunday school teacher. And I said, oh, wow, that's interesting. What I'm thinking is, what do you mean? I'm not even sure you're a Christian. But what I said was, wow, that's interesting. And why do you want to be a Sunday school teacher? He said, I can't wait to boss the little kids around. And I thought, something's wrong there. That's the first stage, and if we kept going, you could think of other things. We need leaders like that. Instant rapport with the kids. They know the music they're listening to. They know the films they'd like to see. They know what jokes will work and what won't because they're immersed in the culture. They know what words make you sound incredibly daggy. Is daggy, is that an English word? Yes. Out of touch. Fuddy-duddy.
Loser.
Well, sounds good. Oh, sorry. Yeah. They know what's in and what's out because it's in and out for them. They know how to wear their clothes because it's the same as the kids. You know, they know what music to pick because they listen to it. They know what makes kids laugh because they laugh at it. Love by stage one leaders. Then we get to stage two, and I don't want to give Channel 4 any extra publicity, but this is sort of the big brother, big sister. Age. I'm going to change that to big sibling, I think. But anyway, it's the big brother or big sister age. You're now just a little bit older. You've probably aged sort of 20 to 25. and you're now starting to be just a little bit older than the kids, probably too old to be their friend, but more likely the age of a big brother or a big sister. You know, 5 to 8 years, that sort of time. These numbers are all very rubbery because it depends on personality, etc. So, let's think about stage two leaders. What are some of the advantages over and above the stage one leader? What can we say about the people in who are 5 to 10 years older than the students? Yeah.
They're more willing to listen, probably to the big brother, big sister, looking for advice.
Okay, I need subtitles on this one.
Just looking for advice.
So that you have more advice, yeah, because you've got a little bit more life experience. Absolutely. They're now not one step ahead, but they're hopefully, you know, 3 or 4 steps ahead. Excellent. Other advantages, yes?
They might be quite protective of them, look after them.
Like you look after the brother or sister? Yeah. Yes, they can be a place of safety. They're bigger, they're stronger, a little richer, a little wiser. And like a big brother or sister, hopefully will protect their younger siblings. They actually get they've got a better sense of looking after kids than in fact that level does. Good. Some more advantages of that level two have over level one. What do you think? Yes.
More focused in ministry.
Yes. If they're still doing it now, they probably actually are more focused. But sometimes level one leader, oh, it's just a wonderful world, look, I'm a leader. You get a little bit older, you maybe been to a conference or two, had a little bit more training, and you actually might lead them to Christ a little bit more directly. Okay, good point. More advantages in level two, yeah.
And you're a bit less concerned about whether they're being cool.
Yes, yes. You're starting, it's still a factor, but it's far less important because they're not your friends as such, they're your little brothers and sisters' friends. So coolness still matters, but it's less of an issue than it is for our younger leaders. Any other quick advantages come to your mind that level two have over level one? Yeah?
Still in touch with where the younger ones are.
Yes, yes, they're still pretty in touch actually. They might even listen to the same radio station. They might still watch the same films. It's getting to become borderline, but you probably are pretty much in touch, even like the level ones are. Disadvantages for people in this stage of their life in leaders. What's a little bit harder for them? Yeah. Yeah, let's not put tied down in marriage too close to
your wife.
They're starting to take on commitments. So they could be getting married in that stage. They could be moving out of home. They could be buying a car that will take them 1,000 years to pay back. Those sorts of commitments. And they might just have a little less freedom in what they're doing. Even if they're not married, they might be seriously, now what's a good English word? Courting, is that what? Is that a word? Lots of Australian words, I'm not using any of them. They might be seriously starting to pursue the interest in one particular person, which actually gives them a little less time to hang out with the kids all the time. Okay, other things that this level might struggle a little bit with, or might be hard for them, or might need a bit of help with?
I think the one where they fit in within the church as well. Can we talk about
that? Okay, so where they fit in, yeah.
So they might find, you know, the youth group is somewhere where they're finding their own fellowship when they need to be anywhere elsewhere. So it's kind of a fine line between what their motivation for involvement is.
Yeah, sometimes these people actually want to pursue friendship with their own ages at church, like a young adults group, but they're always back in the youth group helping out. And that'll be particularly highlighted if you've ever got a young adults thing and a youth thing happening about the same time. Let's imagine you had a combined camp for youth and young adults. What do your young adult youth leaders do? Do they hang out with their friends and be, you know, or are they there actually ministering to younger people? So I think there can be some question marks as to where they fit in. Yeah. Right down the back.
They often get nabbed by other ministries.
Yes, indeed. If you're on a hunting expedition and you want people for any ministry at church, look for young adults who haven't actually tied themselves down with families, etc. And all sorts of opportunities will be opening up for them. Okay, and so that will cause... That's a plus in some ways, but it might create a bit of a dilemma for them. Yes, sir?
It's a plus and a minus, I think, at the same time as well, that I think we majority of people think most youth workers have to be that age. So churches especially think that their volunteer leaders need to be in that bracket, so that a lot of pressure is on that age to go into youth ministry, which actually I think you can end up therefore having good youth leaders that age, but you can end up having youth leaders who've ended up in it that shouldn't be there in the first place because they're that age.
Are you saying that some churches will think that's almost the only age you can be a youth leader, therefore if you're that age, you should do it?
It's like, I'm 29 and some people think I'm too old to be doing youth ministry.
Bring them to this session. Right. I'll sort them out. Okay. But that pressure is there. That pressure is there. And the pressure is there at the top end of that to move out. Well, you've practiced ministry on the kids where it didn't really matter if you did any harm. So now you've practiced and getting a bit older. We need you to lead our young adults. We need you to, you know, you've been married. We need you to lead the young marrieds. All sorts of things. We need bus drivers. We need ushers, car park attendants. Okay. Top end, you'll be pulled out. Over here, and then we'll go over to the ladies down here.
Just off the back of that comment is that at that age, I mean, I'm nearly 23, sometimes you can have too much responsibility put on your shoulders.
Okay.
And actually you haven't got the wisdom to do that. And so because people think because you're that age, you'll know because you can relate, whereas actually you're sat at your desk trying to plan something going, haven't got a clue, because you simply haven't got the experience or the resources.
Excellent. How rhetorical question, don't answer it. How many 23-year-olds are in charge of running the youth ministry of their church? Now, a lot of responsibility is put on young shoulders, and they might be out of their depth on some issues. And it might not be okay to say, I can't do that. You might just have to pretend you can do it. Okay, that's a pressure that we need to help them with. Okay, we'll hit some ladies over here.
I think this is the mobile age.
Yes.
Quite often people will be finishing university courses and moving away, taking up jobs. So you can actually lose people.
Yes, that's not a settled age, is it? Mm-hmm. Depending where you live and depending on the demographics, you're either going to uni or finishing uni. Doing your job, finishing your apprenticeship, moving out of home, moving from the village to the city, there's a lot of movement in there. Taking this lady, gentleman over here, and we'll dive down the back.
And the sort of flip side of what they were saying over that is that you can end up in a situation, and this is quite a loaded comment, where you've been given the responsibility and you can cope with it, but people still look on you as being too young.
Yes, absolutely. It's almost the opposite of this one, that you're well able to cope with it, but everyone says, well, it's just a young person. We're not going to let them make that decision. Okay. Gentlemen over here, excuse me, sir. I don't know your name. What's your name?
Dave.
Could you just come here for a moment? Now, what? Come here. Look out that way. What do you reckon?
He's larger than 6 foot.
Thank you. We have a rabbit plant. Dave, well done. I reckon switch to birth.
Tim, tonight.
Sorry, did I actually ask for your contribution after all that?
So I was just going to have people who are 2 want to be 1.
I think it's hard.
People who are number 2 want to be 1 number 1.
They want to be.
They want to stay number 1.
A little bit less responsibility?
No, I mean, you still want to be 1 of the game and not take the responsibility for keeping them in the bigger brother stage.
Yes, this is interesting. In Australia, we have a generation of people who actually don't want to grow up.
Yes.
Amen.
Not 53 though. Our young adults, now I've got 2 children this age group, I need to be careful here. But when I compare it to when I was that age, my goodness, I had taken on all these adult responsibilities, and the generation now, and I'm not blaming them, it's the sort of world we've brought them up in, they want to, the adolescence is actually going through the late 20s now. That is, I haven't worked out my career, I'm not prepared to commit to a relationship, I want to have fun till daddy takes the T-bird away. That sort of attitude. I just thought of a story with my daughter, but I better not tell you. I've got to check with her first, and that wouldn't be fair. But that's an age group that, yes, has that difficulty, and sometimes that won't make them great leaders. I have lost who had their buzzers in first year. We're going down to that.
And I was about to make that same comment, just a post-university crisis.
Yes, it's a fluid age, not settled in any way. Those of you who are from a previous generation, my suspicion is by the time you are getting towards your mid-20s, you are settled. That is, you're married or in your career job. Certainly I was. Well, God was going to change my career, but you know, I didn't know that. But today, it's all being delayed and adolescence is being extended. Last few on this one, pluses or minuses we haven't got in there?
That age group often thinks it knows everything, because they've been through the whole, oh, I've been a young leader, and now they're an hour and I've done it for a while.
Not possible. Who would have thought that a young adult would think they know everything?
It probably happens in every group.
My observation in Australia is the great thing about working with high schoolers is they know that they don't know everything. They're actually open to learning. In Australia, once people go to uni, they actually realise that they know everything. And this would not happen here, and doesn't apply to any individual from no one. It's been 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 really interesting, and 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 really interesting, becoming youth pastor emeritus rather than youth pastor, because I have no direct control over the youth staff. They're not responsible to me. I'm just the wisdom figure lurking in the background. And I've worked really hard not to pull the strings behind their back. But I have been surprised with how few times they have asked for my help. Mm. Not because there's anything wrong with them. They just need to prove to themselves that they can do it all by themselves and mark out their own territory without the old fella interfering. And, that's been... I think our youth ministry suffered a little simply because they don't want to say, Tim, I'm not sure what to do, what would you do here? Well raised. We had the last couple on this, yeah.
One of the issues I think I've certainly got with number two is that I think there are important youth leaders that age, but I can't get any guys that age in our church because we don't have any. If you're not in a student area, it's very difficult. So we're a very, very big church and we don't have anybody like under the age of 25, because moving to somewhere like Red Hill at that age is quite too expensive. You've got one of your benefits in Sydney is that you guys, when guys go to uni, they stay at their home churches most of the time.
When you go to uni, you make sure you go to uni in your home city.
Yeah,
and it's a huge embarrassment if you've got to move to another city. It means you didn't get in.
You stay at your church, and then at 2021, you're kind of generally leading your youth group in Sydney, which is what we found. And then, whereas here, that doesn't happen. Kids head off to uni and then probably don't come back to our church. So we don't start seeing youth leaders till they're 25. Yeah. Most of our youth leaders are 35 plus.
Yeah. That's a good age for youth leaders, and your demographics sometimes make it a bit tricky.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to move on. We could go a bit longer on that, but let's go. Ooh. British people are much more articulate, so I'm going to use a word that I would never use in Australia, because they wouldn't know what it means. But you guys are, seriously, British people are far more widely read. This is the avuncular stage.
What does that mean?
For the Australians, that's the auntie and uncle stage. Okay, the auntie and uncle stage. Avuncular. It's a one in the wonderful word. I have an avuncular relationship with the young people. You're probably aged about 25 to 35, and this probably means you're now sort of 10 to 20 years older than the kids. Too young to be their parents, but too old to be a big brother or big sister. Make sense? That's why I call it the auntie or uncle stage. Too young to be their parents, too old to be a big brother or sister. Now, what might be some stunningly good advantages of having some youth leaders in this age group? What will be a benefit of this way?
They're great.
Yes, I wonder if we could get an explanation of that. Let's get your hands up, yeah.
Their parents trust you.
Yes. That's right. Not just a young person that runs the group. Oh, at least they're in the year, so we can trust them. So more parent trust is starting to come. Excellent. Yes, ma'am.
You're modelling to them kind of
what the next stage of life is about. So either what it's like to be married or what it's like to be single at that age and coping with life and seeing that and how it works out.
Yes, it's not a totally settled age, but it's generally reasonably settled. You're either committed to marriage, committed to singleness, committed to a career, and you're actually modelling where you can be in Christ in that stage. So that's, they can bring a whole lot into your youth ministry. Other things, yes, sir.
As a youth ministry, you've got plenty of babysitters.
Yes, always thinking ahead there. Thank you, sir. Other advantages that, or strengths that people in this stage of their youth ministry will have? Can you think of any others? Yes, sir.
Got a bit of distance.
A bit, pardon? English.
Distance.
Yes, okay, oh, that's right. Tell me, give me, what does that mean? Distance.
I don't know.
See, I think you're...
There's something great about that.
It is a great concept. Yes, distance simply means that you can draw a boundary between you and the kid, and things like discipline start to become easier because it doesn't matter to you that much if they hate you for a moment.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
That is, let me put a little more... You are less emotionally needy to have the kids as your buddies. Buddies is not an English word, is it? It's an American word. Kids as your chums. Chums. Mates. Mates is an Australian word. Does that make sense? Emotionally, hopefully, far more mature and stable. I'm talking from the Australian perspective. More stability than these guys, usually. Which means that distance thing you mentioned, you can actually keep an even keel when things go well, when things go badly, when kids love you, when kids are digging in their heels, not cooperating. Okay. Other advantages? Yes, and then you.
When sort of like the 15-year-old girls come to you for advice, they're more likely to take the advice that you're giving them because you're a bit more... You're not uncool like their parents, and you're not kind of saying it for your own agenda like their older sister might, but you're that nice yes. age in the middle when they're likely to believe you.
Yes, this might be an awkward expression for the English at the moment, but you've got runs on the ball.
What is that?
Runs on the ball.
And they're not
Ross and then down the back.
Yeah, related to that, mate.
You've got a great accent.
Yeah,
that is
good,
tops.
Good shirt too, mate.
And what's the name of the youth group at your church?
King's Own.
Yeah, what's the little outreach thing you have?
Oh, the G'day Cafe.
The G'day Cafe.
Yeah.
That's been culturally sensitive.
Yeah.
Well, we've changed it to the Good Day Cafe.
Good Day. We don't serve tea, though. But what I was saying, just related to that... just related to that is some probably been tested in life and have come out the other side. Better.
Yes, absolutely. Haven't gone through every test, but they've gone through a number of hard times and testings and actually survived. So that actually brings great strength. We had a man down the back there.
Just more likely to have some kind of formal training. You stuck out that long. You like to have been through some conferences, some courses.
Yeah, it's a couple of years of Bible college sometimes. but yes, their understanding of youth ministry probably far more developed, far more trained. This is good. Yes, sir?
Get more respect a lot of times.
Yes, just older. And seriously, it works. Can I get a few negatives? What might these people struggle with just a little bit? Look at the age group they're in. Look
babies.
At the... Yes. Family life is changing. And mummy and daddy love each other very much and God gives them a baby. And that starts to maybe be another factor. Can you be out late at night with the loves when you've got family responsibilities? So sometimes family pressure, with not just babies, but you know, by the time they're 35, a whole swag of assorted children, that'll put a bit of pressure on because they want to be good husbands, good fathers, good mothers, good wives, and yet there's the demands of the youth ministry. So they might need our support on that one. What are some other things that are just a little bit hard? Down to
that. The flip side of that is if you're single at that age, people think that you've got unending time and you can give every second of your day and night to doing it, but actually you'd quite like some breaks.
Yes.
Says a bit of verse.
Yes.
Sorry.
We We have a female pastor at our church who's been on our church for, she's on the team. She's been with us for 12 years or so. She's now in her 40s. She is single and I think called to be single and constant. But people expect that she can give every minute of every day to ministry because she hasn't got a family. She doesn't have a life. And that is a wrong expectation. Okay, we'll see. A few more disadvantages. Yes, Mark?
They might start to get discouraged.
Yeah, what might discourage them?
Well, they've done it for a while. Maybe their youth group is smaller now than when they first arrived. They're feeling a bit worn out.
Yes, it can be. If they've come all the way through, this might be a long haul. Or if they've come in recently and tried it, they might not see. It may not be the most satisfying thing in their life. And you're right, they can get discouraged. Right down the back, and then we'll do the front, please.
People start asking you whether you're going to do some proper ministry.
Yes, when you're going to grow up. You're still hanging out with the teenagers. In fact, I wonder if there's something wrong with that person, particularly if they're single. Why are they always hanging out with 15-year-olds? And that is huge pressure given the current climate of our world and the suspicion that is cast on anyone who works with young people. So we almost need to protect these people because they're going to probably have suspicion raised over them. Okay? Down the front.
You're beginning not to be trending. You don't know what's going on.
You've got no idea what youth culture is. We'll get back to that one in a moment. But yes, you're now starting to think, I do not belong in that culture and I don't want to be in that culture. Okay, so that makes it a little bit harder. A couple more on this. Yep.
Slightly different, but I was just thinking in kind of worldly terms. A lot of people in that bracket on other career paths have started to, climb the ladder
again. Be promoted, a job that's demanding, they've got to put in long hours, and then there's a youth ministry that needs them at the end of the day. And they show up to youth group in their business suit. And that can be a little bit awkward. Okay? I'm going to keep moving here. Let's go to stage number 4. This is such a beautiful stage. The parent stage. This is a long one, about 35 to 60. And so, who cares? You're just a lot of. You're as old as their parents and maybe a little older. So, can you see it goes for a long time? It might go to 55, but I suspect it probably more goes to 60 these days. So, what's that? That's a 25 year age. I'm still in section 4 at the moment. What might be some advantages for level 4 leaders? Why would they be great people on your youth ministry team? Yeah.
Well, you might be back into one of the Sunday groups if you've got kids that age yourself.
Sorry, say that again.
You might be back into one of the Sunday where they are because you've got kids that age yourself.
Yes, indeed. See, I'm just coming out of that. My youngest is now 22, but for the last 20 years or so, I've known what teenagers are like because, you know, my kids have been in the mix somewhere. Okay, so that could be an advantage, yeah.
If they as they would have experience being a parent, they can parent those who might not be getting positive influence at home.
Absolutely. They can be a parent role model for kids who have come from horrendous family situations and they're sort of an extra mum or dad on the team, which can be a great advantage. Jonathan?
They can be a good help as well to the leaders that are perhaps in Section 1.
Absolutely. In fact, both those groups can be extremely useful in helping both those groups. Well thought through. I'm sorry I asked that question. Okay. Are there any more advantages in having people in this group? Yeah.
Get taken seriously.
Yes, especially by parents and especially by kids. Discipline is just so much easier. Because you say to a kid, hey, get down off the chandelier. And they do. And your poor old stage 1 and stage 2 leaders are trying to get them down and they're just laughing at them. And parents will take you more seriously, especially if you've got the runs on the board by bringing your own teenagers through to adulthood. Then you really can make reflections on parenting teenagers with credibility. Yeah.
They're often kind of settled in an area, so willing to commit to the ministry for quite a long time.
Yes, that's a more settled age. They've still got kids, they've still got a mortgage, but by and large, reasonably settled in what they're doing, except for the men going through midlife crisis.
Yeah. You can support the parents in a way that the stages before.
Yeah, we try to have all ministry to parents of our kids done by this group. Like if a kid's in trouble at the youth group and we need to talk to their parents, we get one of our leaders from this age group to make the contact with the parents. So it's a parent-to-parent thing. And certainly you can start having a ministry to parents once you've got that age group on board with youth ministry.
And moving on from that, you can also support their parents with their young people in a way that probably you wouldn't perhaps think of doing in the younger group, so that when one of the young people come in and say, oh, what an awful parent I've got.
Yes.
You're in a very different situation then.
Yes, because the temptation of the level one and maybe even the level two leaders is to say, yeah, I don't know how you cope, that must be so hard for you. Where this person is saying, yes, I can see the difficulties, but they can also see it from the parent's perspective. A couple more on the positives.
I'll try and get that this time. When a young person or someone in that age group, they can see the Christian life being lived out without all the add-ons of the culture and stuff. Yeah. So they can see what is essential to Christian life without the rubbish that gets attached on when you're younger.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I love your accent. That is just brilliant.
Sorry, not just the title bit.
It's brilliant. I'm going to learn how to speak like that. That is just beautiful. Last couple of advantages, and then I'll ask you for the disadvantages. Yes, sir.
Sometimes the young people respect the wisdom, tend, like you said earlier, go to the old talk to find it easier to talk to an older person than to a younger person about being more serious.
There's no guarantee of wisdom here. Like, plenty of idiots in this age group. But on the law of averages, you've got more possibility of actually accumulating wisdom over the years. This is the accumulators. They're accumulating wealth. They've actually got money for things. They're accumulating property. They're accumulating wisdom. They're accumulating body weight. This is the accumulators. Okay. Last couple. Yes,
you also have a bigger influence with the church as a whole. Rather than just the children, you're influencing in, well, potentially many areas.
Yes, when you're in this age group, try going to the PCC or Board of Elders or someone and tell them they're running the church wrong. You actually get a whole lot more street cred here, and you get to influence a far wider range of people in your own church. What might be some of the things this age group would struggle with just a little bit? Yes, sir?
They can be very stuck in the past. They can say, when I was a young person, we did do this, we did that, we lived like this.
Yes, they can just go back to the glory days.
Absolutely.
And you know how kids love parents talking about how when I was young. Easy to do, because the older you get, the more you like to remember. Does that make sense? I love remembering things when I was young.
And good things.
Yeah. And that natural tendency can sometimes get in the way of kids saying, you know, just another old fogey telling an old story about when they lived in a shoebox. Okay. What else? Yes, sir?
You might end up being a parent at the end of the lot of youth worker. So you should become, and which I know maybe there are different models of how you do it, but actually you can end up trying to almost replace their parents and become a parent instead of their own parents.
Yes. Yes, while it can be helpful to be another parent-age person, you don't want to take the place of their actual parents. Because for good or ill, they've only got one set of parents. Okay. Some more struggles for this age group.
Start to feel like you're a little bit tired, a little bit aged.
That's right. I don't do it. Our youth group, Australia's a very outdoor sort of place. So even in the middle of winter, kids are always outdoors on the grass. And the guys are kicking the footy around and they say, hey, Tim, come kick the footy around. And I want to say, look, I need to stretch for 20 minutes before I do that. In about 10 minutes, it's just not worth it. I just can't be bothered anymore. The body just has, you know, I have physiotherapy for 2 weeks if I get out and join in the rough games that they're playing. So energy levels, a physical ability to keep up with it, it's on a downer. My suggestion, by the way, if you're in that category, get a camera or a video camera and just say, oh no, I'll video it, and then you don't have to join anything.
It's not just this group, but maybe the other groups as well, but maybe a bit more resistance change. Like, we've always done it like that. There's nothing wrong with it like I did 20 years ago.
As you get older, you get more settled and more comfortable. It's true. You get used to the world the way it is, and even if it's not perfect, you know how to cope with it the way it is, and you don't want no one changing it. You mightn't think church is perfect, but you've got used to it, so don't try changing it. Okay. I'm going to move on here. Stage 5. Now, I'm not there yet. I'm on the cusp, but not quite there yet. This is the grand parent stage of youth ministry, and this is, you know, 60 plus and 1,000 years older than kids. I haven't actually got there yet, so I don't want to speak with any authority, but top of your head, advantages to having a grandparent age person in youth ministry?
Our young people respect their grandparents often a lot more than their parents.
Yes.
So they'll listen to them more.
Yes. There's an amazing bond between grandparents and grandchildren, and it's not just that they have a common enemy. But yes, I find teenagers and grandparents bond very, very well. Listen to how teenagers talk about their grandparents or their nan or their pop. There's a lot of warm emotion that's in there. Okay? Over this side.
Grandparent characters tend to be quite indulgent and kind of all go on then. It's sort of not being unable to discipline, it's just not wanting to, it's okay, and they're quite sort of loving and indulgent.
Yeah, and on a positive side, got more wisdom of which issues to pull them up on.
Yeah.
And which things to let go. And sometimes the younger parent age pulls them up on everything. Yeah.
Just thinking that they would have more time again, as children at home, maybe retirement, and that leading on to having more time for prayer and things like that.
Yes.
Older members of churches.
Absolutely. In fact, more committed to prayer.
Yeah.
You want people to pray for your youth ministry? Go for this as your number one age group. They are just the world's champion. They do have more time, but they're also they've learnt from experience how important prayer is. And the younger you are, the more you think, oh, pray about it later, get it done first, and, you know, talk to God later if I have to. Quick advantage, yeah.
Yeah, they often can influence leadership as well, because they're not always, but sometimes in church.
Yep.
Make cracking cakes.
Yes. You want someone to cook for your youth ministry? You get cracking cakes from these people. Yeah.
It's encouraging for kids to see people stuck being Christians, possibly 60 years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It brings depth to your Christianity when you can see the grannies who still love Jesus. Yeah.
They can be very direct. We've got an old lady in our church who sits next to a 14-year-old every week.
Yeah.
Now,
why can you be more direct than that age?
Because they're old, you won't say to an old person,
oh,
just get lost.
Depends which area of England you're in.
But, you know, it's a respect thing, isn't it?
Yes, in a funny sense, the wisdom is recognised even by the young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just get any quick disadvantages, anything they might struggle with a little bit? Yeah.
I think disadvantages that often I don't think that they can do ministry.
Absolutely, I'm beyond that. I'm too old. Kids wouldn't like me. So that could be hard. Any other quick things that they might struggle with?
Active games.
Yes, I wouldn't have them leading poison ball or murder ball or giant bungee jump, whatever you do.
Tend to be completely out of touch with popular culture and
youth
culture.
Yeah, although generally speaking, this group often is as well. But yes, they're more so because they don't have their own teenagers, unless it's grandchildren. But yes, I wouldn't have one idea of what modern music is doing, which might be a blessing sometimes. Any last ones on this? Yep.
Oh, so it's just a more general one that. How much does it matter that you actually are in touch with their culture?
Hold that one and come back to that at the end. That's a key question. We'll do it at the end. Can I just call a halt there? Mm-hmm. I want to finish this. Now, can I just show you? Let's see if I can. Thank you. I thought that was good too. Can I just show you the universe according to youth ministry? This is the youth ministry solar system. There are two planets in the youth ministry galaxy. There they are. Two planets. This is called planet youth, and this is called planet adult. Young people live on this planet. Older people live on this planet. And we all know it. Young people know that adults come from another planet, and adults know that young people live on a different planet. Let's just check where our leaders live. Level 1 leaders, which planet are they residents of? Yes, level 1 leaders are over here. They're part of the culture, they understand the culture, well accepted, mix in easily. Level 2 leaders, which planet?
Spaceship.
No spaceships. He who's not with me is against me. Which planet? Which planet? Yeah, they're actually still over here. Okay. Level 3 leaders, which planet? Yeah, they're over here. 3, 4, and 5 are all over here. Now, let me tell you what happens. Level 1 leader, level 2 leader, you're in the culture, it's easy, you understand kids, they click with you, you know what music they like, you join in with them, you laugh at their jokes, it's easy peasy. And then suddenly you hit your mid-20s, and you suddenly realise that overnight, without realising it, you got transported to another planet. And you don't like their music anymore. You think it's awful. And their jokes are so silly. And the movies they go to, I mean, who would go to one? And the way they dress, you wouldn't even shop at the same clothes, clothes store as they would. And you have a youth night and you're standing there and you think, my goodness, I'm the oldest person in the youth room. And you suddenly start to feel like you don't live on the same planet. And the reason is, you don't live on the same planet. And I'll tell you what happens in Australia. In the mid-20s, nearly everyone bails out of youth ministry. It used to be easy, or it used to be hip and groovy. They're probably not words that teenagers use, but you get the idea. It used to be good. I used to live on the same planet on them, but now I'm too old. I'm in my mid-20s. And who would want to be a young person again? Now, if you're aware that that's going to happen as you move from stage 2 to stage 3, here's the trick. All you've got to realise once you hit your mid-20s is that you're now involved in a cross-cultural ministry. That's all you've got. Just like you would go to another culture on this planet and minister effectively to them, as you move into your young 20s, your mid-20s and live over here, you're now involved in a cross-cultural ministry. And cross-cultural ministry can be very effective because you actually can see the problems in their culture and you know how the gospel speaks to them. When you're living on the planet, you can't actually see the blind spots of the culture because you're in it. But when you're ministering from another planet, you can effectively penetrate this planet. Now, I want to tell you something about the citizens of this planet. They welcome visitors from this planet. Contrary to popular belief, the citizens of Planet Youth welcome visitors from Planet Adult on two conditions. Condition number one is that you respect their culture. That doesn't mean you agree with it. It doesn't mean you support it. It certainly doesn't mean you're going to act like it. But it means you respect the fact that they are trapped in a culture that they can't change. That it exists, and you're not going to blame them that it exists. Oh, you young people, your music is awful. How can you listen? Does that make sense? They're trapped in a culture of what music is around. Individually, they can't change the complete culture. They can choose not to listen to it, I guess, but they can't change the whole thing. But respect simply means you acknowledge that they're part of that culture and you respect the ceremonies and traditions of their culture. Just like if you were transferred to Deepa Starter's Doona Wookwook somewhere, you would respect the tribal rituals that would go on in the village that you were ministering to. In practical terms, you don't pretend that you belong here. I don't understand that world. I seriously can't work that world out. I have no idea what songs are on the top 40. I don't even know if there is a top 40. Is there a top 40? I don't know. They don't make records anymore. There's those funny CD things or MP3s. I don't know what an MP3 looks like. I know what a player looks like, but I can't go into a shop and buy an MP3 song. I don't understand their culture. I don't know why they dress the ridiculous way they dress. I don't get it. I don't know why they still laugh at jokes about flatulence. I just don't get it. But they know... Oh, sorry for those of you who still do laugh. They know I don't understand it. And you know what? It's okay with them that I don't understand it. You know when you were younger and there was a new musical group out and you loved it? Didn't you love it when your parents hated it? Drove into distraction when the Beatles came out, and I was a teenager, that my mother liked the Beatles. I would prefer her to hate it. So it's okay that they know you don't understand. So if I'm trying to give an illustration from their world, I don't pretend I live on their world. You know, if I'm looking for a well-known singer, a musical group, can someone tell me a musical group that teenagers really love now? What would one be? Oh, come on, you must know. Level one leaders, where are you when I need you? What's a music they would listen to?
My Chemical Romance.
There's a group or a man or a woman called My Chemical Romance. Okay? Now, if I'm preaching a message and I say, and you understand how it goes, I was listening to My Chemical Romance just recently, and they know that that's not true. So I would say, I hear there's a group called, now tell me if I get this right, My Chemical Romance, is that the name? Yeah, okay. That is an interesting name for it's a man, is it? Is it a woman? You're not sure? Okay. Somebody gave me these words. See if you recognize. Does that make sense? I'm acknowledging that I don't understand their planet, but I am respecting the fact that they're in it, and I'll use stuff that's committed to them. That's why you need level one and level two leaders around you, because they'll give you the information. So number one condition for accepting visitors is that you respect their culture. You don't have to agree it, you don't have to like it, you don't have to endorse it, but you've got to understand they're trapped in it. And providing it's not disobedience to Jesus, it doesn't matter if their culture is a little bit ugly. I just don't get why guys in Australia wear their jeans halfway down their backside with their boxer shorts showing everywhere. I don't get it. I just think, and they wear a belt. But I'm not going to stand up front and make fun of that to them. I can do it with you, but I can't do it with them.
Yeah.
Because they do it. Does that make sense? If I ridicule their culture, I'm not a welcome guest. But if I respect their culture, they love visitors. Let me give you the second condition that they will welcome visitors. That you give them the one thing they crave the most. Time. No one's got time for them. Their parents are busy and their parents are having to hold down two jobs, come back at the end of the day, household will be done, kids come from school complaining. No one has time for them. Society doesn't have time. Society writes them off. Not worth spending time with. The one thing they want is someone to spend time with them, someone to listen, someone to hang out with them, someone to understand. We mentioned before the difference between parents and grandparents. The essential difference between a parent and a grandparent is a grandparent has time. Parents are busy. So my plea with you is, when you move from level two to level three, this is an exciting changing point. You get to do cross-cultural ministry. And I want to say that is incredibly effective. Because you can see all the faults of that culture. You can see the entry points and you know how the gospel can penetrate that. When you're locked inside the culture, it's almost impossible for you to identify because you're trapped in the culture yourself. Now, in Fruit That Will Last, the very last chapter, jump over to it tonight and just have a flick through it. It's called How to Last in a Ministry That Will Grow. And it's just full of practical, sensible, everyday things so that you get refreshed. But I wanted to do it this way for you to understand there's no need to bail when it becomes cross-cultural. But when it becomes cross-cultural, you move to a whole new level of ministry. And then indeed, as you move through level four and three, level four and level five, you can have the most awesome ministry with young people. I want to stop there. You have 11 minutes to have a smoke, Harry. And then the next seminar will be starting. So if you're staying here, can I actually...